Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 1. Thus said the Lord Jehovah, the gate of the inner court that is looking eastward is shut the 6 days of work, and on the day of rest it is opened, and in the day of the new moon it is opened. The Lord is continuing his instructions to Ezekiel about the second temple and how he wants it built and how he wants it operated. He wants the Israelites to follow his laws again as they originally did back in King David's time, because for many generations they had not been following the Lord's ordinances and laws. The ordinances in the book of Leviticus, they all point to Christ. So the ordinances of the temple, which means the religious practices, were a metaphor for Christ, each and every one of them. So if they were done improperly, then you would lose the meaning behind the metaphor. And that's why God is again giving instructions. They need to understand who their future Christ is and how he will save his people from the bondage of sin. And secondly, they haven't known the laws for generations because the Levites and the priests were not teaching the people during many generations leading up to Ezekiel's time. The Lord is reminding the people what they're supposed to do when the exile ends and his people return home from the lands of Babylon. Here he is telling the people that the only time that they should have access to the inner court is on a Sabbath or a new moon festival. Now, unlike pagans, the Israelites never were to worship the moon, the stars, or the sun. The new moon festival is not a worship or a celebration of the moon itself. It's a celebration that the Lord is turning the seasons and bringing in the harvest. It's a celebration of what the Lord has done. 2, and come in hath the prince the way of the porch of the gate at the outside, and he hath stood by the post of the gate. And the priests have made his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he hath bowed himself by the opening of the gate, and hath gone forth, and the gate is not shut till evening. The high priest is being called a prince. When the high priest is supposed to enter the inner court, first sacrifices have to be made for his consecration and his peace with the Lord, and then he enters through the gate of the inner court. 3, and bowed themselves have the people of the land at the opening of that gate, on Sabbaths and on new moons, before Jehovah. The people are to bow before the Lord. They would be facing west when they bow. Pagans face the east when they bow because they're worshiping the sun, which is God's creation. But the Israelites are to face west, which is the direction of the temple, with their backs to the sun. 4, and the burnt offering that the prince bringeth near to Jehovah on the day of rest is 6 lambs, perfect ones, and a ram, a perfect one. So it's the number 7 because it's 6 perfect lambs and 1 perfect ram. Perfect means that there's nothing physically wrong with the sacrifice and that it has no spot on it. The wool should be perfectly white. Spotted wool represents sin, and sickness and infirmity is not found in heaven. And it also represents sin, because a lot of times we have sickness because of our sin. Not all the time, but a lot of times poverty, sickness, and mental health problems are often caused by sin. And the lamb and the ram both represent Christ. But he was not infirm due to any sin because he never did sin. And he was the perfect lamb, metaphorically, that was slain for all of us. 5, and the present is an ephah for a ram, and for the lambs a present, the gift of his hand, and of the oil a hin for an ephah. And the animal is already dead before it goes to the altar, so there's no torture whatsoever of the animal. Its throat is slit and it bleeds out very quickly. It goes unconscious before it's dead, so it doesn't even feel the full pain of death. This animal is then placed on the altar after it's cut into pieces. But with it goes oil and flour, and that is the present that's being spoken of, that's given to the Lord. 6. And on the day of the new moon, a bullock, a son of the herd, a perfect one, and 6 lambs and a ram, they are perfect. The people are thanking God for the new moon. They're not praising the new moon itself. They're thanking the creator of the moon by giving a perfect male cow and 6 lambs and a ram. All of them have to be perfect, which means they can't be lame, they can't be blind, they can't have any cuts or abrasions or anomalies in their body. All of us will enter heaven in perfect glorified bodies, and Christ, who was perfectly without sin, is what these animals represent. 7. And with an ephah for a bullock, and an ephah for a ram, he prepareth the present, and for the lambs as his hand attaineth, and of oil a hin for an ephah. The ephah is the measurement of the oil and the flour that's given, and for the lambs it's a handful of flour instead of a full ephah. For the ram and the baby bull calf, they measure out a full ephah, because those are larger animals. 8. And in the coming in of the prince, the way of the porch of the gate, he cometh in, by its way he goeth out. The prince has to go in and out the same way. There are 3 openings to the inner court, but the prince goes in through the front opening, which is on the east, and he goes out the same direction. 9. And in the coming in of the people of the land before Jehovah at appointed times, he who hath come in the way of the north gate to bow himself goeth out the way of the south gate, and he who hath come in the way of the south gate goeth out by the way of the north gate. He doth not turn back the way of the gate by which he came in, but over against it he goeth out. This is talking about the general population that has to exit the opposite way that they came out. Now, this isn't only for traffic control. It's also so that you get the full environment of the temple, which is the presence of God, and you experience his full presence. It also symbolizes that you are changed and you're a different person after leaving the Lord's presence. And it also forces you to soak in the full event and all of its significance, instead of just running in and running out, making your sacrifice and then leaving quickly as if it didn't matter. This was a serious event, to have your sins forgiven or to consecrate your life to the Lord or to celebrate with him the peace that you have with him. God wants us in his presence. He doesn't want to be just something that we checked off, that we took care of that day. And when we are in his presence, we are changed. 10. And the prince in their midst, in their coming in, cometh in, and in their going out, he goeth out. The high priest comes in and goes out with the people. I'm not sure what that symbolizes, except that Christ is always with us, but we're following him. He's not following us, but he is with us. He said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. 11. And in feasts and in appointed times, the present is an ephah for a bullock, and an ephah for a ram, and for lambs, the gift of his hand, and of oil, a hin for an ephah. The measurements that are used for the sacrifices during the feasts and the new moons, this is how it goes. A full ephah for a cow, a full ephah for a ram, and these are ephahs of flour, and for the lambs, a handful of flour, and for the oil that goes with it, you give a hin of oil for each ephah. That would be a hin of oil for the cow and the ram, but no oil is necessary, or at least not as much, for the lambs. 12. And when the prince maketh a free will offering, or free will peace offerings to Jehovah, then he hath opened for himself the gate that is looking eastward, and he hath made his burnt offering and his peace offerings, as he doth in the day of rest. And he hath gone out, and he hath shut the gate after his going out. When the priest is in the inner court, making a peace offering or a free will offering, he opens the gate. And I assume this is so that all the people will know what he is doing. And then when he goes out, he shuts the gate behind him. The peace offering means that we are thankful that our sins have been forgiven. And the free will offering is an offering of joy given any time that we're thankful for what the Lord has done for us, such as when a child is born in the family, or if the harvest comes in, or any time that you feel blessed by the Lord, you just give a free will offering. 13. And a lamb, son of a year, a perfect one, thou dost make a burnt offering daily to Jehovah. Morning by morning thou dost make it. Every single morning on the altar they had to offer a perfect lamb that was a year old, and it has to be a male lamb. A year old lamb is a full grown yet young lamb, and Jesus, when he died on the cross, was full grown yet he was young. He was 30 years old, approximately. He was perfect because he never sinned, and he is male because he is God, and male means one, and God is one. Female means many, and that is why God is not female, and he never will be. Female represents all of us, because all of us are in the billions, those of us who have lived on earth. None of us is one of a kind. 14. And a present thou dost make for it, morning by morning, a sixth part of the ephah, and of the oil a third part of the hin, to temper with the fine flour, a present to Jehovah, by a statute, aged during continually. Fine flour and oil also go with this lamb that is presented every single day as a burnt offering. And the burnt offering means consecration, which means that we only have one God, and we devote our entire life and every aspect of our life to him. 15. And prepare ye the lamb, and the present, and the oil, morning by morning, a continual burnt offering. This is to be offered every single day for all of Israel. The present is the flour, and it says to temper the oil with the flour. 16. Thus said the Lord Jehovah, when the prince giveth a gift to any of his sons, his inheritance it is, to his sons it is, their possession it is by inheritance. When the high priest gives anything to his own sons, then it becomes their inheritance eternally, forever. It can never be taken away from them. When Jesus gives us something, it's our inheritance eternally. It cannot be taken away from us. The fruit of the Spirit are the character traits of Christ. And if we are his people, we inherit his traits eternally. And so we need to use those traits and grow in those traits. But we also inherit gifts of the Spirit that he assigns differently to each person. The fruit of the Spirit is the same. Those are kindness, self-control, love, long-suffering, etc. The gifts of the Spirit are teaching, healing, ministration, apostleship, and things like that. The gifts are determined on a case-by-case basis, and God determines what gifts he gives to each person. But it will never be taken away from you. If you have a gift for ministration or preaching or whatever, it's not going to be taken away from you. 17. And when he giveth a gift out of his inheritance to one of his servants, then it hath been to him till the year of freedom, and it hath turned back to the prince. Only the inheritance of his sons is theirs. When the high priest gives an inheritance to a servant who is not his biological son, then on the year of liberation, which is every 7 years, when they set all of the slaves free according to God's law, in that same year, the servant who had that property has to return it back to his master. So if the high priest gives a house to a servant, then within 7 years' time, the servant would no longer own the house. It would return back into the master's property. This symbolizes that if you are working for the church just for money and you're not actually saved, that you don't have an eternal inheritance. You'll still keep getting your paycheck from the church, but you do not have salvation from the Lord, which lasts forever. And there are many people in the church today who are receiving paychecks, but they do not have eternal salvation. But if you are a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He has given you eternal salvation. Jesus spoke of this in the New Testament, and He said, "The hired man jumps over the fence to get to the sheep, but the shepherd knows them, and he goes through the gate." The shepherd has a relationship with the sheep, but the hired man, who is somebody who works for the church and they get paid, but they don't really know God, that's the guy jumping over the fence. Instead of going through salvation, he goes through religious hoops. But one of these days, the flock will still have their inheritance with the Lord, even after those who play the religious game are gone. 18. "And the prince doth not take of the inheritance of the people to oppress them out of their possession. Out of his own possession he doth cause his sons to inherit, so that my people are not scattered each from his possession." The Lord always wanted the tribes to maintain their own territory, their own houses, their own vineyards, and their own cattle. He didn't want one tribe to lose to another, or one prince to take what isn't his. Because when we go to heaven, there are 12 gates. There's one for each tribe. So the Lord isn't going to obliterate one tribe or allow one tribe to be obliterated. Each of these tribes are going to maintain their inheritance throughout all history. And it'll be interesting to see which gate you go through when you enter heaven. Every single one of us will enter heaven, but we can only enter through one gate. All of these tribes' eternal inheritance will be preserved by the Lord forever. 19. "And he bringeth me in through the entrance that is by the side of the gate, unto the holy chambers, unto the priests that are looking northward. And lo, there is a place in their two sides westward." Ezekiel is on the north side, which is the right side of the inner court. And he's looking northward, which means he's looking to the right of the sanctuary. And there is a place there where there are two sections that are to his left, which is to the west. 20. "And he saith unto me," now this is the angel speaking to Ezekiel, "this is the place where the priests do boil the guilt offering and the sin offering, where they bake the present, so as not to bring it out unto the outer court to sanctify the people." In this little cooking section that Ezekiel is looking at, there's two stations. One station is to boil the meat from the guilt offering and the sin offering. Those are the offerings where the people get forgiven of their sin. The priest has one part of it on the altar burning for the Lord, but he takes another part for himself to eat, for him and his family. And for the sin and the guilt offering, those pieces of meat that are to be eaten by the priest and his family are boiled in water, and that's how they're prepared for eating. And then on the other station is a place where they bake cakes, and those cakes are made of the flour and the oil that was also given with these offerings that we just read about. So they make a little cake. So this cake will taste a lot like a plain biscuit. And it will be unleavened, but it will be very moist and delicate because it's fine flour and fine oil that they make it with. 21. "And he bringeth me out unto the outer court, and causeth me to pass over unto the four corners of the court. And lo, a court in a corner of the court, a court in a corner of the corner." The angel guides Ezekiel then to the outer court, which circles the inner court, which circles the sanctuary. And there are four corners because this whole plot of land is a perfect square. And in each corner, there is another little tiny court or little tiny room. 22. In the four corners of the court are perfume courts, 40 long and 30 broad. One measure is to the four corners. 23. And a row is round about in them, round about to them flour, and made with boilers under the row round about. I think the word perfume is a mistranslation. These are actually kitchens. So in Young's literal translation, that's a translation error with that word. These are actually kitchens in each corner of the outer court, and the women would have access to these areas because the women and children are in the outer court. This could be where the people cook their own food for when they're eating the fellowship offerings, because they are supposed to eat the fellowship offerings near the temple in the Lord's presence. They're not supposed to take the food from those offerings home. In most offerings, the general population doesn't take any of the offering home. Some of it goes to God and some of it goes to the priests and the Levites. But with the fellowship offering, the people do eat part of it in the presence of the Lord, because this is an offering celebrating our relationship with God. The boilers would be for cooking the food that's going to be eaten. 24. And he saith unto me, these are the houses of those boiling, where the ministrants of the house boil the sacrifice of the people. So they're boiling the portion of meat that the people are going to eat. And that concludes Ezekiel chapter 46. In the next chapter, the Lord will continue showing Ezekiel the rest of this vision and the rest of the Lord's instructions for the second temple.